Hi everyone, it's Judy. Welcome back to the On Track podcast. Today I'll be talking with Chris Hunrath of Inselectro. He'll be talking about the explosive growth of printed electronics, as well as how to design for it, and he'll cover the vast array of possibilities that this opens up for designers. If you have the chance to catch this episode on YouTube, I encourage you to do that because he has a great session of show and tell of some of these technologies. So lean in, enjoy. I'll see you on the other side. Welcome to Altium's On Track podcast, where we talk to leaders about PCB design, tackling subjects ranging from schematic capture all the way to the manufacturing floor. I'm your host, Judy Warner. Please listen in every week and subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, and all your favorite podcast apps. And be sure to check out the show notes at altium.com/podcast, where you can find great resources and multiple ways to connect with us on social media. Well, Chris, welcome back. We're glad to have you again.
And thanks, Judy.
Well, we were talking recently, and we were discussing printed electronics, and you told me that Inselectro over the last 4 to 5 years has seen a significant growth in the selling of these products that you carry. So why don't we jump in right there and just talk about what kind of growth you're seeing in the printed electronics market?
Yeah, so traditionally printed electronics has been used in RFID along with metal foils. You know, if you've ever seen, you know, anti-theft devices, they're
right.
Typically little RF devices that are either aluminum foil or some sort of conductive ink. But they're also used in security access cards and things like that, right? Mm-hmm. And then of course, membrane touch switch. So coffee makers, dishwashers, washing machines, all those things that have membrane touch switch very often are printed electronics. In a combination with some mechanical parts as well. And those were kind of the mainstays. Oh, and rear window defoggers in cars have been, that's conductive inks also, though. So that's what we would call printed electronics.
Okay.
That's in a different category than the thick film polymers, but same kind of technology. What we're seeing now is we're seeing a lot of growth, yes, but we're also seeing a lot of interesting new applications. Now, glucose test strips, same technology, conductive inks. That's a little different, and we'll talk about that later. But then we're also seeing, a lot of new applications. A lot of new applications on the wearable side. Sensors of all kinds, heaters, sensors, wearable electronics, but also electronics in cars.
So
lots of new applications. One of our largest customers does the self-darkening windows. So they use the conductive ink.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So I don't know about that, but I've seen the LCD. Have you ever seen those where you can flip the switch and the LCD opaques the glass? It's really cool.
Yeah. So this is really more for both energy and privacy. But you can make the windows dark, and this is used on skyscrapers and very large windows. You can make the windows darker or lighter, you know, at the touch of a button. Different than the phototropic systems where you add something to the glass to make it light or darker based on the light, this gives you control.
So
the conductive ink, in this case silver, is used as the bus bar to put the current on the window and change its lightness or darkness. It's being used in planes because it saves weight over the shades.
The
pull-down shades, uh-huh. but in high-rises, it has a lot of potential to save energy in those kinds of applications. So that's a big expanding area, you know, that's for us as well. So, yeah, we've seen a growth in a lot of new areas. And, you know, as you know, electronics is going into everything, right?
So
there's a lot of different technologies. I mean, touchscreens have always used printed electronics, mm-hmm. to some degree, typically again as used as the bus bar on the ITO coatings, but we're seeing a lot of new applications in drug delivery systems. Again, you know, heaters, wearables, you know, all that kind of stuff.
So, what kind of percentage of growth are you seeing?
You know, we've been traditionally a supplier in printed circuit board materials, so rigid printed circuit boards, FR4, polyimide, you know, in the last 10 years, the low loss materials, copper foils and the like. We thought Pernod Electronics was a good fit for our business because we're good at handling sheeted goods. We understand conductors. You know, we did sell some inks, you know, in the industry already. So we thought it was a good fit for us. And as we get more involved, it's been growing very nice. So, you know, I would say in the last 5 years, you know, our business is, you know, close to doubled every previous year. It was relatively small, but then it's
wow.
It's growing pretty good. I think we're on track to do $12 million in that next year in printed electronics, both in substrates and in inks. But who knows? One big application, and that could really, really take off. So, you know, it's a smaller part of our business today, but we think it's here to stay and expand a lot of different areas. And a lot of it's the material science drives a lot of it, you know, what you can do.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll, you know, we talked a little bit before about the end mold. I'll talk about that.
Okay.
But yeah, lots of good applications.
So is there a predominant area? I think we had discussed medical. We all know that automotive, you know, being able to put printed goods, say, inside of a console or a car door or a bumper or
dashboard.
Yeah. Those kind of things have exploded. Is there predominant applications that are sort of driving this spike?
So capacitive touch switching is nice because it saves cost, weight, and there's no moving parts, so it's very reliable. Now,
uh-huh.
It's relatively new to cars in terms of car dashboards. So there is, I'm not going to say reluctance, but, you know, it needs to prove,
right.
You know, prove out. But I think it makes a ton of sense. And I think a lot of the automakers agree with that. I mean, it's, there's a lot of work being done on that today.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have got that sample. In fact, actually, this is a good time. So this is a sample of in mold. And I know some of your other podcast guests have talked about injection molding. And this is the step before injection molding. So what you would do is this sheet, this polycarbonate sheet, would be flat. And I don't know if you can tell from the video, but just to describe for the listeners, one side's matte, one side's shiny, right?
Yeah, so I can see that it's shiny.
Mm-hmm. Typically, you print the matte side, and there's different ways to make print treatment, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. But basically, you print it flat, screen print it, and then you thermoform it. And the ink, this particular ink, is designed to move with the plastic. So it still makes the connection. You do have a change in resistance, but it's relatively small. And then you would injection mold this, and the circuitry, along with any components, are totally encapsulated. So again, there's no moving parts. You know, if this were a switch, you would just run your finger up and down. You can control a fan, for instance, your
mm-hmm.
fan speed. Or dimmer switch for a light. It could be any number of devices, but this would be encapsulated in an injection molding process. And of course, you could add decorative parts, the plastic, and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's sealed, and then there's nothing to tarnish, nothing to wear. You know, it should last a very long time. Again, also saves weight. So you know, you could literally have a molded dashboard with all the electronics inside it, and you're done.
That's so cool. So what is in the properties of the ink that allows it to move like that, like in a molded structure?
So that gets into some interesting ink technology questions. So typically conductive inks use silver. They use silver metal because silver oxide's conductive, more conductive than other metal oxides.
Mm-hmm.
Gold is a good choice too, but it's very expensive.
Yeah.
Silver is quite a bit cheaper than gold. So the particles in the inks are typically silver flake. So the flake particles overlap, you know, like pieces of slate,
uh-huh.
and that gives you good connection. So what happens is if you have a binder system, and that's the other part of a conductive ink. So in conductive ink, you have two main components. You've got a binder system of some sort, and then you have the conductive particles, in this case, silver flake. And what happens is if the binder system's flexible, it stretches and the particles can slide over each other when it gets thermoformed, but they still make connection.
I see.
So, and of course, you know, a lot of the performance characteristics of the inks are determined by the size and shape of the silver flake and the chemistry of the binder system.
Interesting.
And there's different categories, too, of the binder systems. And, you know, I know your other guests have talked about like 100-to-1 comparison between conductive inks and copper, of a similar size, 100-to-1 difference in resistance. And really, there are so many different inks. It probably ranges more like from, 50-to-1 to, a few 1,000-to-1, depending on the type of ink. And they all have their applications. They all have their pluses and minuses, whether it's cost, flexibility, it's rheology when you print it. So inks have been used on solar panels. You want an ink that stays put, so you maximize the amount of area that can see the sunlight. So you want an ink that's more vertical than horizontal, right? So mm-hmm. that ink's formulated for that application. You also formulate it to stick to the silicon or whatever semiconductor material you're using for the solar panels. So again, there's all kinds of inks for all different applications, and that's where we come in. We try and help customers find the right ink for the right application.
Right. So I think you mentioned something else about what else besides inks does InSelectro carry relative to printed electronics?
Well, the predominant substrate is polyester film.
Okay.
Which we sell.
Okay.
It's a PET film. Most of your listeners will recognize the trade name Mylar. But we sell polyester film from a number of suppliers. Mylar is one of them. It comes with coatings and treatments for adhesion. Sometimes we sell a polyester film that's treated to make it hydrophilic. And for medical applications, that's very important. You want it to wet out, with whatever you're testing.
Hmm.
So in medical applications, you would want a hydrophilic treatment on the polyester. So it comes in a lot of different ways. And again, that's where we help customers. Of course, polycarbonate for in mold,
mm-hmm.
That's another kind of substrate. And then we have the thermoplastic polyurethane transfer film for wearables. So this has got a temporary carrier on it, and you would print this flat, and then you would transfer it to a fabric, and then it would heat transfer it, remove the carrier, and now you've got flexible circuitry that can be put in clothing.
So for those of you that are listening to the podcast, if you have a chance to hop over, Chris has been doing a little show and tell here, and he's showing some of the fabrics and things. So if you have the opportunity to go over and check out the video, you can see that. But we will also share, Chris will give us some things that we can share in PDF format or whatever, so you can see these things visually. Because if you're like me, I need pictures. I need to see it visually to help really get my mind around it. So again, we're talking to designers and engineers here. What's the comparison in regards to designing with printed electronics as opposed to traditional printed circuit boards? What are the differences?
So, obviously conductivity is a big difference between the silver and copper foil. The advantage of the conductive inks, and I really shouldn't say just silver, because there's carbon inks and there's there's silver-coated copper and so on and so forth. But really the comparison is in the resistance. So really what you would need to know is what kind of circuit with you or looking to use for your application. And then you could use some of the Altium tools that are based on copper, as long as you know the comparison between the resistance of the ink and the resistance of the copper.
Okay.
So for example, if I was going to make a an 8 mil wide conductive ink trace, and I knew the sheet resistance, I would just use a comparable copper thickness and copper width to give me the same information. And I could use that in the design. And that's something I think that we probably need to collaborate on in the future.
Yeah.
To make it even better for the customers designing and printed electronics.
Well, we just stuck our toe in the waters here on Altium Designer 19. And you had mentioned, I will also share the link for those of you that haven't had a chance to see. We did do one. We have a partner called Tactotech that does the in mold structural electronics, and so we interviewed them, but they actually partnered with us to put some design features relative to printed electronics. Now, they're not super fancy, doesn't have all the bells and whistles. We're just, like I said, sticking our toes in the water, but you heard Chris Hunrath say it here. Maybe we'll put our heads together and make it a little bit better. So, you know, the design tools could do some of that, the calculating and, you know, just it's a little bit different animal.
Yeah, it's because there are so many different inks for so many applications, and that doesn't even get into the inks that can sense chemistry. There's a technology with a silver chloride ink that, with the right additional chemistries, can be ion selective. So you can detect things like blood glucose. You can detect things like natural gas, carbon monoxide. I mean, there's all kinds of things. And actually, for the fire iron inks, that's the basis of technology that's used for O2 sensors. So you could, and that's an area I think you'll see some activity in, is you could use conductive inks on traditional PCBs. Let's say you want to put a heater in a printed circuit board. I mean, it has been done before for embedded passives, but for things like heaters or chemical sensors, you could actually print them directly on a PCB. So there's a lot of opportunity. There's no limit to how you can put some of these things together.
It's very exciting because I know we've both been around a long time, and the idea that you could do printed electronics, you know, just X amount of years ago was like, boy, we all wished we could, but, you know, I feel like a little bit of science fiction become reality for me anyways, that we can do these things. So it's pretty exciting.
The wearables is actually interesting. I mean, they could be used for everything from what they call a neural bypass. So in other words, you could pick up nerve impulses from one area, and it could be any number of areas in the body. There's some great videos too where they pick up, you know, nerve impulses from one part of the body or even the brain and transmit it to another part of the body. You know, that has a lot of applications for people who've had nerve injuries. Mm-hmm. There's force sensors, movement sensors, chemistry sensors. There's all kinds of applications in wearables for printed electronics. And a lot of the inks for the wearables, if you use the right substrate, the right fabric and the right encapsulant, withstand, you know, anywhere from 20 to 100 washings, and they're still fully functional. So that's, as the material science gets better, that'll get extended even further. Mm-hmm. But just going back to the inks, just for example, some of the higher silver loading inks. The light cut out here. You can still see me okay?
Yeah, I can.
There we go. It's on a motion sensor. Anyway, some of the better inks are 5 milliohms per square per mil of thickness. And some of them, you know, let's just say in staying with the silver inks, they might be 150 milliohms per square. Of course, the carbon inks may be, you know, 20 ohms per square, but you want that resistivity in that case. So there, you know, again, there are many different inks for different applications. And this is what your customers would need to know, or designers would need to know to design some of the circuitry, depending on their application. I just have another sample here. This is a printed antenna. In fact, some of the antennas, the TV antennas that you could stick in your window, mm-hmm. you know, to get local broadcast, it uses printed electronics, silver inks.
Interesting.
So a lot of different applications, and you could put them anywhere, and you could put them on materials that you couldn't use in a traditional PCB process.
Right. That's the exciting part to me, is what you can print on, you know? So we're kind of being freed from the planar FR4. You know, we're being able to take that circuitry off those traditional flat surfaces and also off a traditional PCB with, you know, where we're constrained by materials. So it's pretty exciting.
You can buy kits for children that you can draw conductive inks with a pen.
Oh, I've seen those actually.
Yeah. The conductivity is not real high, but uh-huh. it's just a way to get people interested in that kind of technology. And they can actually build things that work, you know, that's conductive.
That's neat. I had forgotten about those. I saw that at a maker's fair.
Yeah, and actually, there was a company that crowdsourced that device some years ago, and that was kind of interesting. Hmm. But going back to the actual design part, so one of the things, and again, I know the listeners can't see this, but so you would start with a substrate of some sort, you know, mm-hmm. could be polyester, could even be Kapton. You know, I have some of the high temperature ink This is kind of interesting. This is a polyimide binder system with silver flake. This is a 500 degree operating temperature.
Wow.
So it's not just for, low tech applications. But anyway, traditionally you would have a polyester substrate and you would apply your conductors and then you would apply your dielectric. Mm-hmm. And then you could apply more conductors. And you could literally make a multi-layer by alternating the conductor and dielectric layers. And wherever you'd want to make an interconnect in the Z-axis, you would simply leave an opening in the dielectric.
Okay.
So you could make a multi-layer printed electronics board. Typically, though, the applications don't require that. Mm-hmm. I typically see two layers of conductors.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see any more than that, but mm-hmm. that doesn't mean that's the way things will stay, as the applications get more complex.
Yeah. So we've got a couple big shows coming up. We've got IPC Apex in San Diego and DesignCon in Santa Clara, both in California. And I know you're right up there by Santa Clara Convention Center. So what is the presence of InSelectro going to be like? So if some of our listeners are in that area, they can maybe stop by and see some samples.
Are you talking about DesignCon?
DesignCon. Oh. What did I say?
Oh, I'm sorry. So ID Tech X, which was in November.
Oh, no. I meant DesignCon.
Okay. Yeah. So DesignCon, we're not exhibiting. We're going to be down at IPC.
Okay.
Your listeners are certainly welcome to contact us, and we could get them, technical information. We typically exhibit at the big print electronics show is ID Tech X.
Okay.
And it is in the same location as DesignCon. It's in the Santa Clara Convention Center. It's typically November, so we just had that show this year. We exhibited great turnout and response
So since you're seeing a growth in that, how was the traffic in that show as opposed to years? You see that also growing?
It's growing. The previous, let's say, 5, 6, 7 years ago,
mm-hmm.
A lot more flashy stuff. Lights, the electroluminescent lighting and things, which is mm-hmm. another printed electronics technology, which used to be used in cell phones, where now we're seeing a lot more wearable applications, a lot more serious applications. It is changing. A lot more technical applications.
So, interesting.
Yeah, a lot of printed heaters. DuPont has their R&D center here in Sunnyvale, and uh-huh. they have a lot of printed electronic demonstration samples there. They have a Corian countertop,
uh-huh.
and they actually embedded using printed electronics, they embedded cell phone charging places.
And that'd be so great.
So you just put your phone on a certain, and what happens is it lights up when you're in line with the inductive charging. So it lights up so you know you're in the right spot, and they can also... they can also play music through the tabletop, and it's all done with printed electronics.
Wow! So I want that countertop.
so that's at the DuPont R&D facility in Sunnyvale. But also too, they display some wearable technology stuff. It was used for the heated jackets at the Olympics previous Winter Olympics. They had the U.S. team had heated jackets with printed electronic. Heaters built into it, so I think you'll see more and more of that kind of technology and things.
Will you share? I'm assuming that DuPont then has a place on their website that has some of that information as well.
Yes, yeah, I could share that with you. I did want to mention one thing: is for components for printed electronics, typically conductive adhesive is used because soldering to printed electronics is very delicate. To put it mildly, it can be done with the right inks and the right substrates, but it is a very delicate process. So typically connections done for heaters are done with either slide-on connectors or rivets. And for components, you use conductive adhesive. So for example, and I know the listeners can't see this, but there are some components on this sample.
Uh-huh.
These LEDs here in this test sample, they're mounted with conductive adhesive. So the adhesives... both mechanically join and electrically connect to the circuit, and then this is a near field connector coil, and again, it has a component, a little microchip, and it's done with conductive adhesives.
I didn't think to ask you that. Yeah, you're not going to solder on a piece of plastic, basically. So
right,
that makes
right,
sense
yeah.
that it would be a conductive adhesive.
There are some soldering machines that can do it.
Wow.
What they do is they heat the ink just enough to get the solder to form the inner metallic. It's better with silver-plated copper flake, because copper does not dissolve as readily as silver into solder.
Mm.
So it can be done, but that's where we would encourage customers to contact us, and we can help point them in the
okay.
right direction, you know, with the right materials and so on and so forth.
All right, Chris. Well, send me all the goodies, and we'll
okay.
make sure that we get that in the hands of our listeners. So anything else we need to cover? That was kind of a lot in a short period of time. It sounds like a very exciting area of growth, right?
Yeah, there are so many different ways this could go, and I think you'll see all of it. I think, and as the materials, you know, DuPont has a lot of R&D. They're working on a inkjet version, and again, pluses and minuses to inkjetting that. I did want to mention that primarily screen printing is the main way to apply the inks and
mm-hmm.
dielectrics,
mm-hmm.
and it's done in sheet form. There are gravure systems. For people who aren't familiar with gravure, basically it's a drum that's etched in a pattern, and then you bring the substrate through as a roll, almost like real-to-reel processing, or
uh-huh.
actually it is real-to-reel processing. The downside of that is the upfront cost, the tooling cost is very high, so
yeah.
it's only good for very high volume.
I see.
And we're talking like, you know, not tens of thousands of parts, like hundreds of thousands of parts.
Mm-hmm.
Where it makes it cost effective to do that kind of technology. Where screen printing is nice. Screen printing is very scalable too. So you could do small quantity. Unlike a PCB shop, I do want to mention this. Unlike a PCB shop, the cost of entry into print electronics is somewhat lower. You don't have to
well,
worry
that's
about,
good.
You don't have to worry about all the, you know, the laser drilling, the plating, all the chemistries. Environmentally, it's a lot simpler to do print electronics. So there's some advantages there as well.
And the supply chain, like who, is it a traditional board shop that would do these? Or like, it doesn't seem like you'd be constrained by that. Like
You wouldn't be. And some of our board shop customers are dabbling in it, but it's not, I wouldn't say it's an area that they're focusing on. It's other companies that seem to be getting more into, you know, some of the nameplate companies and things that that have done screen printing, they're branching out into electronics.
Interesting.
So, and those are the ones that traditionally have done membrane touch switch, which is, you know, again, an early application for this. So.
Hmm. Wild. So, yeah. Okay, well, keep us posted, because I'm sure this is going to be a changing landscape, and I'll be sure to share everything that we talked about in the show notes below. So,
okay.
To our audience, Chris, thanks for joining us again. And to our audience, thank you for joining us again. And I hope you enjoyed learning a little bit about printed electronics, and we'll give you all we can in the show notes below. So we look forward to being with you next time. Until then, remember to always stay on track.